We thank you for this morning. God, thank you that we get to be here, Lord, and sing praises to you. Lord, to come together once again. And Lord, we thank you that your spirit is in the midst of us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to anoint this service right now, Father, that it would glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. I always regret doing notes on a mini iPad, because these are being used a lot more. So I'm going to be putting my glasses on and off here and there. You can make it bigger, but it doesn't help. But there's a big preseason game going on right now, so I kind of need my updates. Just kidding. Just kidding. Nobody watches the preseason. Well, maybe. I love this time of year. We have a lot of teachers in this church body. Raise your hand if you are a teacher in this church body. A lot of them over here. Aaron, you're a teacher, or have been a teacher at times. Maybe you're at home now, but you have been a teacher. God has blessed this community with a lot of educators, and a lot of them are in the back right now using their gifts again. One of the things, and school's getting ready to start. Some of us have been in our classroom. I know Dave already has kids, Dave Larson. They already have students. It's getting earlier and earlier, so I'm protesting that. But one of the things that I love at this time of the year, the beginning of the school year, one of my favorite days is when the kids get their class picture. I don't know why. There's something about it. What do they do? They line up tallest to shortest. Sometimes you see it with football teams or sports. All right, guys, line up tallest to shortest. It's just part of it, so they can line you up and get the picture that they are hoping to get. So with that, I want you to imagine all the churches in the United States of America lining up smallest to largest. Okay, one long line of churches, smallest to largest as far as attendance of members of their congregation. So here's your first church in line. 5 people, 10 people. You start walking down the line. 15 people, 20, 25, going up, up, up. You are now at 75 people in the congregation. Guess where you are in that line of churches? You are halfway to the end. Over 50% of the churches in America have 75 people or less in them. That's pretty... When I heard that statistic, pretty amazing. Let's keep walking on. Let's keep going. Now we're at 80, 85, 90, 100. Keep going, keep going. Now we're at 350 people. Guess where you are in line? 90% churches in America, 350 people or less. And then it goes on and on from there. So what I want to talk about today is community. And the importance of community. I have a confession to make. I am a very, very big fan of our church. I really am. I love our church. Not only do I love our church, I love the size of our church. I really do. Yes, of course, there's room for growth and things, but I really enjoy I love this community. I believe that community is one of God's greatest means of grace that he gives us. By means of grace, I mean the way he works in us, that he forms us, the way he transforms us to be like Christ. He has given us so many means of grace. Kevin shared last week on one of those, prayer. That's one of God's means of grace. It's one of the ways he uses to transform our hearts, our minds, to be more like his son. Yeah. Though his word, obviously, spending time in God's word is one of God's means of grace that he has blessed us with and wants us to use. Those are the things that we need to pick up and do. And one of the other ones, obviously, is fellowship community, which is what I want to talk about today. Aaron and I have done youth for many years, and we've done the analogy of a three-legged stool. So you sit in a three-legged stool, and you have the word, prayer, and fellowship. And without any of the three, what happens with any of the three of the legs of the stool, what happens to that stool? It falls over. So we need all three of them. So again, Kevin shared on prayer, and it was a very convicting message for myself. And I want to talk about community today. In community, it is important to know one another, obviously, and also to be known. I wanted to read from Acts 2:42. It's a very well-known scripture about the early church and the way their community was. And I shared this a couple of weeks ago. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their numbers day by day those who were being saved. So we see a lot of different aspects to that early church community. One was they brought all their stuff, sold it, and kind of shared amongst everyone. So I have a list in the back, okay, for things that you don't need. You know, we're just going to kind of bring it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not highlighting that at all. You know, that was for that time. Paul goes on in other times and talks about believers that are have been blessed with riches and some that haven't and being content. So obviously that was not a rule for the church that everyone shares and that's just the way it always was. That was to this unique church. Because why would Paul say the riches of other people in Corinthians? He talks about that. They have these riches and others don't, and to use it to bless. So not saying that everyone is to give everything and it's all evil, but that not evil, equal. But that generosity part is good. But so many other things in this verse about how they did community, the early church, how they did community. I want to read directly from Matthew Henry. He has a really good commentary and what he has written about this, talking about the first community. They kept up the communion of saints. They continued in fellowship and continued daily with one accord in the temple. They not only had a mutual affection to each other, but a great deal of mutual conversation with each other. They were much together. When they withdrew from the untoward generation, they did not turn hermits, but were very intimate with one another and took all occasions to meet. Wherever you saw one disciple, you would see more, like birds of a feather. See how these Christians love one another. They were concerned for one another, sympathized with one another, and heartily espouse one another's interests. They had fellowship with one another in religious worship. I love those things he said. They were much together. That's one of the things I love about this community. I feel, and the importance of community, of knowing each other, of being much together, of knowing one another. It is such an important part of the way God ordained it, the way God made it. We live in a technology age, and we went to ACM back in October, and Brian Emmett shared this really powerful message on technology and screens, screen time, and iPads and iPods as I sit here with my iPad. But just the word screen and how the original meaning is to kind of keep things out. It's a screen. You know, and now, and we're obviously, you know, we use it for this, but isn't it kind of, in many ways, it's the same thing. It keeps things out. It can, if we're not careful, put a wall up between each other. I remember Aaron and I, about 5 or 6 years ago, smartphones were still kind of new, and Blackberries, and we were out on a date, and we saw this very young couple sitting at a table doing this, not talking to one another. I was like, we're never going to do that. My entire family, Kate and Lucy included, have been like this, sitting around the living room like this. TV on. Time out. And it just happens. It just pulls you in. So the screen time and just something to be aware of. What is it screening us from? That's in our own houses and our own families. But, you know, I was just walking around and seeing it. But to know one another. And again, that's what I love about community. I learned that about 10 years ago in this church, of this knowing people, of actually looking around and knowing one another. There's such power in that. There's a way to test the life of your church. How do you test the life of your church? By how long people hang around after the service ends. That's a good way to test the life of your church. Are we out the door? Or do you hang around for a while? You know something? We hang around here for a long time sometimes. Aaron and I joke, we call it the Deeper Life Club. And everyone is welcome. And I think everyone's done it. Raise your hand if you have locked this place up on a Sunday. Raise your hand. What? Isn't that somebody's job? Look how many different people have been last and locked up the church. I mean, we have some expensive equipment here. It's a lot of responsibility. And different people are here last, and you kind of just hand it off to the next person. Okay, I got it, and someone handed it off to me, but I'm ready to go. But they're still talking, so I will walk over to them and say, hey, you got it. You're locking up. So it's amazing how that happens, you know, that we hang out here. I think some of the best church here happens after church. I think that should be our tagline. Saddleback Covenant Church, where the best church happens after church. Right? Saddleback Covenant Church, whoever's last to leave, lock up. Getting t-shirts made. So we know each other. And there's that relationship, that community, and the power in that. It's so important. And I didn't know it. I had no idea. For years, I had no idea. I thought, you come, you get your message, you leave. It was about the message. That's how for years, that's how I judged my church. How is the message? That's how I judged my pastor. Is he a good teacher? This is it. I have learned in this church the difference of a teacher and a pastor. I didn't know what a pastor was until I met Kevin Davenport. I didn't. He's a teacher. That's what I thought a pastor was, someone who gives a good message. I now know what a pastor is, someone who really knows his flock, who shepherds his flock. He knows us. And there's power in that. So, knowing one another. On the flip side of that, it's also being known to one another. That they know us as well. And that is a choice. This small community, a community like this, community anywhere, can be intimidating. Oh, people know you here. They're going to know me here. Because for years, I went to church and I didn't know anybody. And that's my fault. There are things for me I could have joined and gotten involved. I'm not blaming those churches at all. But it's a little bit harder to do. You really have to seek it out, that community. But here, people will know you. I have a picture. There it is. That's an iceberg. You knew that, right? But it's amazing how little of the iceberg is above the water and how much of the iceberg is below. And it can be very easy to walk around, and many people have heard this. This is definitely not my idea of this analogy. But walking around, showing that top 10% of the iceberg, all smiles and everything's great, but underneath is all of this. That's the real us and the things we're struggling with. And we could walk around in a community even like this and for years only show that top 10%. That's a choice. You do not have to let anyone in to underneath that. You could put on the smile, sing the songs, come every week. Every week, and only showing that top 10%. That is a choice to let people in and to really allow yourself to be known. And when you do, you will really see God work. And that, again, that community, that means of grace, the power in it. That does not mean You're letting the whole everyone know everything about your entire iceberg. But a few people, find two or three, that's all. Go to lunch with somebody. Say, I'm struggling with this. Hey, this is what I'm going through. And watch the strongholds of the enemy lose his grip. Because he wants you to think you're the only one struggling with something. He wants you to think you're the only one. It's just you. And then when you open up and you let the people pour into your life, he loses that. He loses that. Which a lion that is prowling, which gazelle? Can I go gazelle? The gazelles, don't they? Which gazelle does he go for? The one in the middle of the pack? No, it's the one over here all by himself. That's the one he's going for. The weak one over here by himself. Not the one sitting right in the middle with everybody surrounded. It's the one who's isolated. That's the one that the lions go for. So allow yourself to be known. Where there is that true community and true intimacy, there will be true conflict. That's part of community too. We have conflict with each other. It's going to happen. You're rubbing up against people. You're going to have some conflict. We have fortunately, and I'm sure many other people have been able to keep in touch with Rachel Curtis, who is in Albania right now. She's on a world race, around the world trip. And they do this, and she is learning community. She has a team of people that she's with, and they are doing life together. They are going around the world and getting rubbing up against each other. And then there's her small team and then a larger team that sometimes need. Laura Williams did this trip. Laura Williams could tell you all about it. And they have, we're talking to Rachel, and I won't reveal too much, but they have this part, I think at the end of every day, that they call feedback. And that is where, did you do this too, Laura? Are you familiar with this? Did you do this? That is where the other people in your team are allowed to give you feedback. They're allowed to tell you things that are kind of rubbing them the wrong way. Obviously, it's in an encouraging way to build each other up. But here's the rule. You're only allowed to say, thank you. That's it. There's no rebuttal. There's no, yeah, but you. Thank you. So Rachel's going through that right now. And and again, I'm not revealing anything. But that's going to happen in community. There's going to be conflict. You're going to rub up against people. And obviously the most important thing is to remember that the community is about him. The way a community has that unity is that we are all looking to the same one who has blessed us. We are all looking away to the same God. We're looking to God, to Jesus. I've used the analogy of out-of-tune pianos, and Tozer, I think, did this. Out-of-tune pianos, you can't tune. An out-of-tune piano cannot tune itself to another out-of-tune piano. It doesn't work. They're just a bunch of, we are a room full of out-of-tune pianos. And it's not going to work tuning to each other. But if we have a tuning fork, do they even have those anymore, Pat, tuning forks? Or are they just apps? They have an app for that, right? Yeah. Tuning fork, that can tune the guitars, the pianos, everyone tuning to the same note. That works. So in our community, with the differences and conflict, the most important thing is that we are all looking to him. And that for all of us focus on him, that unity will happen. One of my favorite parts of the month is when we do Communion Sunday, which we do the last Sunday of every month, when Kevin invites everyone down here. And I tell you, there is power in taking communion and looking around the room, and you know everyone in the room. That is a pretty powerful thing. That is a blessing that I'm very thankful for. Next point, so being known, knowing each other and being known. The power in community to reach a lost world. We just finished a series on the Great Commission, about going out, being outward. And I think that is such an important part that we remember that, and that's what I love about this community, but the important thing about community is that it's outward-centered. It is outward-focused. It isn't just this. It's outward. I wanted to read from Hebrews 10:23 through 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. That is such an important part of what we do here. It is to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. It's to encourage one another for what we do outside. The whole purpose of this is for that. It's when we go outside. It's not just this. This is, I've talked about this, we've heard this many times, a huddle. You know, football season is upon us, and coming together right now, it's what it is. It's a huddle, but it's not the game. Could you imagine standing around for 2 hours and watching guys in a huddle? That's all it was? It's the only thing that would probably be worse than, I won't say it. I was going to say watching a soccer match, but we've got a lot of soccer fans in here. I said it. I went there. Kelly Nunn, I apologize. No, I love the World Cup. I got into it like everybody else. But it's football season now. Yeah, that's true. It is. And it makes a lot more sense, actually. But this is not the game. This is the huddle. This is for that. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. We are here to spur one another on to good works. In the unique spheres of influence that we all have, we encourage each other for what we're doing outside. Right now as we speak, talk about Rachel, who is in Albania. And is she on Facebook right now? No way. All right, cool. She can watch. Everyone say, hi, Rach. We're talking about you. Here, bring her up here. Bring her up. Bring her up. You're really interrupting my sermon. Say hi.
Hey, everybody.
Oh, I need this one. Say it again.
Hey, everybody.
It's a little awkward standing like this.
No, it's not. I love it.
I was telling everyone about your feedback sessions.
Oh.
But I didn't go in any detail. No detail. Just that you had them.
Oh, yeah. Lots of them.
Lots of them. All right.
We're going to try it when I get back.
There we go. We should instill that, add that in. At the end of every Sunday service, we'll do a feedback. All right, well, I have four more points to get through.
Okay,
so I'm going to pass you around to everyone, and they can all kind of wave. We should do that. Just wave and say hi. Technology. See, that's a good example of, that's good use of screen right there. That's pretty awesome. They're really doing it. I'm going to go on. All right. The Nortons, also around the world. There's a lot of outward going on in this church. VBS, you know, that's why we do it. Vacation Bible School, it's for outside. It's for bringing people into the kingdom. It can be very easy. We do this co-op with six other churches, and obviously the conversations come up. Have we brought any people into the church from our VBS? You know something? The answer to that is I don't know, but I know we've brought a lot of people into the kingdom, into God's kingdom, and that is why we do it. One of the boxes on, I think we still have it on the application or when they sign up, is do you have a home church? And as we're going through it, yes, 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 yes. Most of the kids, the 150 kids that you saw here, most of them have, they say yes, they have a home church. But that's fine. It's not why we do it. One year we had somebody that said, no, they don't have a home church. So we took pictures of that kid, plastered them all around, made sure every leader knew their name, who they were. Okay, I'm totally kidding. Why is everyone else eating Jell-O and I have a banana split? That's what they're saying for their snack. Why is my snack so big? Why do I get to go to the front of the line of all the games? Oh, no, don't worry about it. No reason. It's the kind of church we are. Come on. No, we're not worried about necessarily bringing people in. It's about extending God's kingdom. And that's what this community is about. That's what God is doing. He's using so many people in this church for outside. This is for that. Genesis 11, 1 through 9. This is the Tower of Babel. Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. It came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. They said, "Come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven, and let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. The Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language, and this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. We've stopped there. The people at Babel were concerned with building up. It was about building upward, not outward. God wants us outward, outward focused, not upward. Not just bringing people in, but he wants us outward and being used by him. So that was a mistake they did with Babel. They were concerned with upward, not outward. So being outward focused. Back to Hebrews 10, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Not forsaking our own assembling together. I think it is so important to come to church. I really do. And I think for the most part, we're all pretty good at that. I have an attendance list that I've been keeping for the last 6 months. So I'm going to post on the website who's not good at that. No, I don't have that. But being here should be important, and I think it is. I mean, Rachel's in Albania, and she's here. You know, we should be here. Except she's a half hour late. I love this, and I will never forget this. Peter and Hannah Herman, here on a Sunday, had a baby, and were here the next Sunday. Think about that. They were here on Sunday, had a baby, and were back the next Sunday. That is commitment. You know, I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. Being here is so important. You want to know why? It's because, and why it's important to us, and I don't want to miss anything. Because you can miss something really powerful. I'll say this. I remember the day our first day back with Cade, when we were in the hospital for 3 months, and I remember it was March 25th, and it was our first Sunday back, and I didn't announce it, I didn't say, "Hey, we're coming back," and, you know, the next week, and, oh, I talked to some people, "Oh, we missed it, you know, we were gone, we were this," and it was an awesome Sunday, you know, it really was. He walked up here, and we have it on video, and we've watched it many times through tears, and it's an amazing, powerful Sunday. God, we don't know what God's going to do at our church. That's one of the things I love about it. There's room for that life. We don't know. I don't know when I'm up here, when I'm getting up here. I sometimes prepare for 30 minutes. Sometimes I get 15. Sometimes I get 35. You don't know because you don't know what God's doing. Praying for each other that we saw today. And there's room for the Holy Spirit to move. And that's one of the things I love about it. So I don't want to miss anything. That's why I want to be here. I don't want to miss something that God's going to do. Because God does amazing things here. And in community. Not just here, but in community. It's not a routine. I love that. And I love that we come here to get encouraged. The definition of encourage. To inspire with courage, spirit, or confidence. The definition of to encourage is to inspire with courage, spirit, or confidence. That's what we do. I hope that's what we do here. We encourage one another for what we're doing outside, for what's going on in our life. It's what we just did when we prayed for each other. Encouraging one another for what is going on outside. And I will close with the last part of one of the greatest blessings of community is that we bear one another's burdens. Philippians 2, 1 through 5. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. We bear each other's burdens here. We're aware, if we allow it, if we let people in, of what's going on in our lives in true community. We let people into that iceberg, the lower parts. And the encouragement that we got, I will speak personally. There is a lot of power in a text message. There really is. Speaking from experience, and Aaron will testify to this, hey, we're praying for you guys today. There is so much power in that. That is such a blessing. And it means so much. Oh, it's just a text message. I should call them. And I felt like that. Just that little thing. It's just a text message of saying, hey, praying for you today. I know what you're going through. We're with you. There's so much power in that. And that's bearing each other's burdens. It goes a very, very long way. When we first discovered about Cade's stroke, that Tuesday, Aaron and I are in the hospital, and so many people were here that Tuesday night, that prayer meeting that I think Matt called, and so many were here and just pleading with God. That's community. And I'm speaking from personal benefit of that. Because honestly, Aaron and I have spoken, we think Cade's life might have been saved that night. In prayer. His life was in peril. And there he is in the back right now. Wave, Kate. He was in a rodeo yesterday, if you guys saw that. But that's bearing each other's burdens. There's power in that, in praying for one another. And I'm going to close just with this story. And to me, honestly, this was what spurred on, as I knew I was speaking today, and I'm always just kind of listening. I'm just listening and looking for what God's doing for something to talk about. Because we're really not in a series right now. We're kind of in between. And, okay, God, what do you want me to speak on? And then the story that I'm going to share right now happened a couple weeks ago. And I was like, that's it. And then everything else kind of came around that. A few of us went camping last week-ish. And part of the things that we did a hike. This 2-mile hike up these rocky path. Kate is with us. And the question is, do we want to do this? And Cooper kind of let us know what it is. He says, yeah, there's some steps. There were a lot of steps. And it was all uphill and rocky. But no, at no time were we angry. It was a challenge. And Cade met the challenge, and I'm holding his hand, and he's stepping up one step at a time, and all of us are, and all the kids are there, and we're going up this path, and it's beautiful surroundings. And sometimes I would lift him up and place him, and other times I would let him do it. And at the end, I took a picture of it just to show him what he accomplished that day, this unbelievably steep path that he made it up. So we're up the top of this ridge, and it's this beautiful view, and I'm like, all right, we did it. And then Cooper says, well, if we just go down this little slope down here, we go around this corner, there's this awesome meadow where it's really beautiful, where we could have lunch. And I was just like, if we're going downhill, that means on the way back, we're going back uphill. But we said, okay, let's do it. It's worth it. He's been doing great and went down the slope, a part of it. And Cooper even told us, there's this one part where you have to go around these boulders, these rocks. That's the only part. But right around that is this beautiful meadow with this river, and we'll have lunch there. So I said, all right, let's go for it. So we're walking down, and Cade's doing great. And then we get to that corner. Where are these boulders? And obviously on those things, I pick Cade up. My right arm is much stronger than my left arm, because just from grabbing Cade and holding him sometimes. And I'm going over these boulders and going through it, and obviously the altitude, and we're tired. And I get right to the middle of it, and I realize that I'm stuck. I need my other hand right now. Because it wasn't just steps, it was these rocks and boulders. I said, I need my other hand right now. I'm stuck here. So I'm kind of stuck, what to do? And just then, right when I do that, Matt Davenport comes over and he takes Cade and he takes him from me. And now he's a little bit further along, but he's in the middle of it too. And then he's got Cade, and then Cooper's right there, and then Cooper takes Cade and takes him and sets him down. You know, and I think of that, and tears come to my eyes. And to me, that is community. That is what we're talking about. And that is what is so powerful and what I am so blessed by and thankful for. Bearing each other's burdens. And right there, I said, there it is. That's what I'm going to talk about, community. Because that was such a beautiful picture of what's been going on for the last 4 years and what God wants to do with each of us and what he offers to each of us in this means of grace, this community. That's here for you. But we do need to step into it. We do need to make ourselves available, vulnerable, take a risk, serve, be part of something, so an easier way to get to know each other. But that the community that God has revealed to me is one of the most powerful things in my life, and I'm so thankful for it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for so many means of grace that you have blessed us with. Lord, your word, God, talking to you, spending time with you, Lord. But we thank you today, Lord, for community. Thank you for the person on my left, on my right. Lord, thank you for this blessing that they are. Lord, we are just so thankful for the people in our lives that you have given us, Lord, to help us along this road, to carry each other's burdens, to spur one another on to good works, to encourage one another. God, it's such a blessing, and we thank you for it, Lord. Open our eyes to the people in our life that you have put here. Open our eyes to that, these wonderful relationships that are offered to us, and help give us the boldness to reach out, the boldness to be vulnerable, to let others in. And God, and we thank you for all that you do through that. Thank you for the sharpening that you do through the people around us. In Jesus' name, amen.